when it comes to climate change, much of the focus in Hawaii tends, naturally enough, to start with the ocean. And there is a lot there: rising sea levels, warming temperatures, impact on everything from coral bleaching to beach erosion. But a report out last week from the United Nations highlighted the importance of the way people use the land. HPR's Noe Tanigawa took a closer look at that, along with some expert help, and is here with a little perspective.
You're now so right on that, Bill. This report from the International Panel on Climate Change, it's the UN Commission, tells us how land stores carbon and releases carbon, both. The world scientists are saying that if we keep degrading the land as we're doing now, we're going to start, the land itself is going to start releasing more carbon than it takes in.
Basically, the report is a call to action to humanity to start to implement some important steps that have not really gotten a lot of headlines recently. For instance, if we treated the dirt differently, if we treated the chemistry of our soil differently, we could actually increase our food production, and we could decrease the soil pollution that comes from erosion. We could decrease the nitrogen pollution that goes into our waterways, and we could increase the ability of soil to pull carbon out of the atmosphere and assist us with our efforts to stop global warming.
Are you talking about changing big agriculture?
Yes, exactly. Talking about changing big agriculture.
I think that's proven to be pretty difficult.
Big agriculture is starting to do this on its own.
Why?
Because it saves money. You don't have to buy as much industrial fertilizer if you simply plant these cover crops, these secondary crops, at the same time that you plant your primary crop. It saves soil by preventing soil erosion, and so crop lands are not used up as rapidly. And they are seeing that working with the land and working with efforts to stop climate change are in their bottom line interest as well.
Are we doing anything like that here?
In Hawaii, we have an amazing blossoming community of organic farmers that are treating the land this way because, number one, it's consistent with indigenous views of the land, that the land is living and that you must treat it with respect. Number two, it's consistent with a more healthy environment and community in Hawaii. It's consistent with stopping the pollution of our coastal waters and
how about food sustainability?
Damaging our reefs. And if we can find incentives to promote more sustainable agriculture, it's called regenerative farming practices. If we can find principally economic incentives, and that would call on the state legislature, then I think it would increase our food sustainability.
Oh, you're calling for regenerative agriculture. Is this something
correct?
New?
It's not new.
It sounds kind of very old.
Well, yes, it's indigenous, actually. It's how original food was grown by people living extremely close to the land and knowing what the land needs.
Oh, so, but Chip, I mean, fringe people have been calling for us to go organic and all this for,
right.
I mean, for a long time.
Well, the problem is they've always been considered fringe.
Yeah.
So it's becoming more mainstream.
Really?
There was a lot of hope in that comment. And I can tell you that, yes. But it's not fast enough. And so, as I've said many times, it actually will take courage to change, right?
And what would we do locally?
Locally, we would provide financial subsidies for local food production, maybe exempt all locally grown food from the general excise tax. Maybe we could produce a series of grants or favorable loans, low-interest loans, for expanding food production here in Hawaii. If we passed laws making regenerative farming the way that you have to farm the land, everybody would have to do it. And that's essentially what's needed globally. It actually will take courage to change. I've recently become a vegan, so it took courage for me to walk away from meat. It took courage to change my diet. It will take courage for the state legislature and for the United Nations to really push hard on this need.
You're back with that unwelcome advice.
You like your steak, huh? Is that what you're saying?
No, I haven't eaten meat since 1976.
Oh, well, why is it unwelcome advice?
I just get, that's what Bill always gives me. He's like, he's a pretty open-minded guy. Were you ever like that? Were you ever like stuff,
yes,
eating meat?
Yes.
No way.
I was like, climate change is not caused by humans. It's part of a natural cycle. I was totally there.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. But then I started getting informed. I read. I determined what was fact and what was fantasy. I confirmed what I was reading, and I changed my opinions, and I changed my lifestyle. It's about keeping an open mind and wanting to be a contributing citizen of the planet.
Oh, man, this climate change means we have to change.
Yes, it does. Climate change means we have to change.
Sorry to throw you under the bus there, Bill, for a second, but you know something? This conversation with Chip Fletcher, I'm sorry I didn't introduce him officially, Chip Fletcher, a great resource for us here for Planet 808. He's a climate change expert here in our town, author of the text, Climate Change, What the Science Tells Us. And he's telling us now that it's time to go vegan and vegetarian.
You know, it makes me leap into the fray as a, not to be in defense of bacon, but realistically, not everybody's going to give up meat. But even, and this is part of the UN report as well, reduction in meat consumption is something that leads to, again, better use of land.
Well, you know, that's so interesting because something like 3.2% of Americans are vegetarians now. Mm. Can you believe that's such a tiny, but you wouldn't, I mean, for the talk about it, it seems like a lot, it'd be a larger percentage.
Much higher in India, for example.
Yeah. Well, here in America, millennials, 12% of them are self-identified as vegetarians. That's much larger than the average. Mm-hmm. And the generation after that supposedly is even bigger into being vegan. So this could be a move into the future and a move that, you know, definitely is going to benefit a lot of different sectors.
Interesting. One other sort of headline that popped out of that report, Earth land masses make up 30% of the globe, mostly ocean, but they are warming twice as fast as the rest of the planet.
Yeah, and we're thinking about those oceans and the food we can get from it. I mean, I don't eat meat, but I still love sushi, and it's hard for me to convince myself that a peeled pepper is as good on a piece of rice, okay, as aku. But I just heard that Lou Cooperhouse is coming into town, and he's the head of Blue Nalu now, which is starting to do cellular aquaculture. Think about that. So he'll be coming into town a little later on in the year. And there are different ways to learn about ways to not eat meat. And we all know how, you know, there are these different burgers that have been coming on the scene and having such great splashy intros into the dietary scene.
There's still something at the end of the day to be said for moderation as well.
Yeah, right. You sound like my husband.
That's all right. Noe Tanigawa, you know her. She covers arts and culture at HPR. You can find her climate change segments, Planet 808, Climate Change in the Islands, on HawaiiPublicRadio.org. You can go ahead over to the news and talk section of the HawaiiPublicRadio.org website.